pray. Father, we ask and we receive insight to your word this morning. Thank you for the revelation you've granted to us in Jesus. We walk in the light of that this morning as we receive teaching concerning him. Our minds are open to receive the understanding of the scriptures. As we behold him, as he beholds us in him. Amen. All right, Luke's Gospel 24, verse 25 to 27. O fools and slow of heart, he said unto them, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. And then he said, notice that he says, all that the prophet has spoken. We've looked at that, all this that the prophets have spoken. Not everything the prophet said, but all this that the prophets have spoken. We were able to look at what were the all this. So not everything the prophet said can bring faith for you to believe. All right? But he was very specific when he says all that the prophets have spoken. Not everything the prophet said is for you to believe. There are things the prophet said you don't even have to even think about it. But there are things they said that we ought or they ought to believe because we are already believers. So he said all the prophets have spoken. Notice he says, then beginning at Moses and all of the scriptures, right? He expounded to them in all the scriptures, pardon me. Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Notice what he did. Is the word diamineo, you know that word already. He went across the Bible. That's the Old Testament. Then he brought out what was common to all the prophets. For example, the prophets lived in different times and seasons. They were different individuals. They even said different things. They addressed different kings and different situations. But there was something common to them. When we start looking at a couple of things, you probably will see this. For example, Moses said that when someone into idolatry, that up to the third and fourth generation, they will be visited with the iniquity. Moses said that. Even though that really meant that if the generations continue in idolatry. But the thing is, Ezekiel comes to say, look, it's a soul that sings that should die. You can see that they were coming out of it small. You get it? The soul that sings that should die. You get it? So you could see that they had different, you know, things they said at different times. You get it? But Jesus in this study finds what is common to all of them. He says, what is common to all the prophets is Christ. That's what's common to them. That's why they are together in the same book anyway. Because what's common to them is Christ. To all that the prophets have spoken. Now, notice, I want you to notice that word, believe all that the prophets, is a word you see recurring in the Bible. But again, he says he expounded unto them, which meant or which means that what they said can be termed a mystery. Not that can be termed. Paul calls it a mystery. Mystery is musterion. Musterion is not mysterious. Mysterious is I cannot explain it. Musterion means it needs to be explained. So, they had things they said that needed to be explained. Is that clear? Is that very clear? That needed to be explained. That is, if you take them face value, you will not be walking by faith. If you take them face value, you're likely going to be in error. Because they spoke in musterion, that is mystery, that which needs to be explained. That is, the only way you get, the only way you know a mystery is apocalypsis, that is revelation. Revelation means to take the lid off, or to take the cloth off, or to take the shield away. Okay? And so, revelation for us was not just God showing us what they said. Revelation for us was that God gave us the eyes to see it. And that's the Spirit of God. So we can see it now. Alright? So, the thing is, mysterium means you cannot see it until it's explained to you. Alright, that's what it means. And so they spoke like that. So what Jesus was doing here was, he went through all that they said, and he brought out what they said, what they really meant. And he says, Christ, that's me, that's Jesus now, he is a common denominator. Before we go there, look at that word, believe all that the prophets. Put your hands in this place and come back to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 26, Acts 26, verse 27. Paul speaking here, Acts 26 and 27. King Agrippa. Paul doesn't brook. He's quite a very determined fellow. He is under imprisonment. He's preaching. King Agrippa, believes thou the prophets? I know that thou believe. See that? Believe the prophets. So, when he said believe the prophets, he had something specifically he wanted him to believe. Are you there? What is common for us to believe or to be believed in the prophets? What is common to be believed? You know, I found out that some of us go take instructions that were given to Jews and begin to follow it. The scripture says, tell Rehoboam. Is there any Rehoboam in this place? That's an error. I declare every Ahithophel in your life, that's not Bible teaching. That's anger. That's emotional preaching. Hallelujah. And that's how so many people build their sermons. It's God. You still there? I declare today that your Mordecai will arise. You get it? That's illiteracy. Praise God. So, look at Bible teaching. He went into all. I hope what happened tomorrow morning is not, yesterday morning is not happening this morning. I hope not. It shouldn't be. It's a new day. If you're not around yesterday, you know what we're talking about. So, what was common to them? Acts 26, one more time. Paul. Acts 26. What was common? You know, he said to Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? Do you believe the prophets? What do you mean believe the prophets? 22. Let's read it together. 22. Let's go. Having therefore, everybody, come on, let's go. Obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to the small and great, seeing none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. Which will? The prophets and Moses did say should come. Because a prophet is going to tell you ahead of time what's going to happen. So he says, I'm only witnessing what they said should come. And what was it? Verse 23. Come on. Verse 23. Everybody, let's go. Hey, hold on. That? Stop that one. That? Christ. Praise God. Go on. Should suffer, and he should be the first, and should rise from the dead, and show light unto the people, and to the Gentiles. Praise God. See it? So when he said, believe the prophets, do you believe that the prophets said it? Yeah, they did. That's common to the prophets. That is it. Now notice this. None other. I'm preaching none other. You get to the Old Testament and you're telling us the story of Bathsheba. You say none other. Praise God. See Paul's, can you see Paul's teaching? Can you see Paul's teaching? Look at it. He says, saying nothing else. Praise God. Some folks don't know how to say nothing else. Saying nothing else. That word saying is the word logos or legos. It has to do with preaching. So I'm preaching nothing else. I'm preaching nothing else but Christ. Hallelujah. I'm preaching nothing else but Christ. You know, I was telling you yesterday in the seminar. Every service is a seminar. And I said to you that, what makes you unique? People have turned the church into a problem-solving center. Not indifferent from a herbalist. Because if you go to traditional people, you have a problem, you go and meet the Baba. And the same way people queue for counseling, they queue there too. Back then, they used to stay in the bush. Now, they have choir. They wear suits, looking good. And they sing. They even sing songs about church. Some of them do. So people will go there and they say, what's your problem? Well, I have been looking for a job since I left secondary school. Why do you go to university? Well, I want to have a job before I go to university. Yeah. One of them says, well, I have a job, but that job is my problem. I don't want to say, well, I'm looking for a husband. I don't want to say, I'm looking for a wife. I want to say, I'm looking for both. And so they say, some people can even go there, they are looking for a wife for their own son. And so the man comes and says, I'm very sick. Someone says, I need this woman. There's one woman in my hometown. I believe she's a man. I think you should come and, you know, and they sit there. And the man will tell them what to do. Tell them, you know what? Every Tuesday at 12 o'clock, stay in the middle of the road and be shaking your head like this. You know, they give them things to do. People come to church and they say the same thing. They come. Have you seen some posters? They will list the kind of people that should come. Vacancy. Are you tired of life? is your job the problem? What are you looking for? He said, come. Jesus Christ awaits you. It's the same thing. So where do we differ? We differ in the preaching of Christ. Hallelujah. Because the Antichrist, the Bible says the spirit of the Antichrist, or the false prophet, he will do similar signs and wonders. Sometimes I'm talking to people about the word of God. They say, well, the man has miracles. I say, shut up your mouth. The man has miracles, not proof that he's of God. What proves he's of God is what is he saying about Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you still out there? That's what. You're going to go to church. Thank God for miracles and signs and wonders. Glory to God. We're having them and we're going to have much more. But you see, the reason why we come to services is to see Jesus, to know Him. I prayed years back. I said, dear God, as I begin to preach the word around the nations of the world, I wasn't the pastor then. I pastored a bit and I left in the 90s. And I said, Lord, I want people to come to the meetings and all they will leave with is Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ. To know Him. To walk with Him. There are too many people that go to church that if Jesus were to be their neighbors, they would not recognize Him. If we were to live in their house, they wouldn't know that the person. Because the pastors don't talk about Him at all. They'll spend time on Esther. 6 hours or 6 days on Esther, then when they are finishing, they say, in Jesus' name we pray. How? From Esther to Jesus. Glory to God. Okay. So, he says, nothing else. I'm preaching nothing else. Glory to God. But Christ. That's what he's preaching. From the prophet, all he was teaching was Christ. Look at this. 26. Are you there? Come on, are you there? I'm the one that is not there. Okay. He says, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue those things with him both to the small and great. Saying nothing. Nothing. Okay. Other than those things which the prophets and Moses did say should come. That Christ should suffer and that he should be the first and shall rise from the dead and show light unto the people and unto the Gentiles. Glory to God. That's the message.
That's the message he preached. So, he is sticking to the message of the prophets. That's what he's doing. The message of the prophet is what Christ will do. And that's what you do, when you study the prophets, that's what you look at for. What Christ will do. Hallelujah. He said, I'm witnessing both to the great and to the small. Hallelujah. Watch this. Look at verse 29. The man said, you almost persuade me 28 to be a Christian. I would to God that not only you, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. Hallelujah. So Paul is not preaching his situation. That's what he's saying. He's preaching Christ. See what I'm going through. What I'm going through is not where I'm going to. How is that his armor? He said, you be like I am, except my experience. Hallelujah. Because you are not the message. So we preach not ourselves. Somebody will spend time and say, let me share my life story with you. Who are you? Are you the one that should come? Somebody told somebody, said, I enjoy this community church teaching very well. But I have a problem. They don't share life experiences for us to be able to connect. He actually wants to disconnect. Hallelujah. Are you still there? To believe thou the prophets. Glory. Are you there? Notice this. He says in 23 one more time. Come on. That's what to believe in the prophets. And the Christ shall suffer and he shall be the first that shall rise from the dead. And show light unto the Gentiles. To rise from the dead. Glory to God. Now, when he says that Moses, this says, should come. That word should come is the word thello in the Greek. T-H-E-L-O. L-O-L-L-O. It means something that was delayed. Things that should come to happen. Should delay. That was delayed then. And when those words are used, I keep running out of that text. I don't know what's from. I go back to Luke 24. There's something about that Luke 24. I just go back to Luke 24 unconsciously. He says that the prophet said, say, should come. The things they said should come. That should happen. Okay? Now, the word there is a fellow. That's delayed. Hallelujah. So, that means in the Old Testament, Genesis to Malachi, what we're talking about was not happening there. But it was said it will. So, you will see what Christ has done in a prophecy. That is, it was foretold. That's what you're going to see. What he has done, you will see it in the prophecy. And that's exactly what brings faith. That's what brought faith, or that's what brings faith from the Old Testament. Not about any other character. No other character brought faith in the Old Covenant except the teaching or better still, the preaching of Jesus Christ. Now notice what he said. Notice what he says. Initially, verse 24, Festus said to him, you are mad. He said, so much learning has made you mad. Now that word learning is a Greek word. Learning is gamma. It's the same word used for epistle. So much epistles has made you mad. Second word, same word, 2 Timothy 3:15. So much epistle has made you mad. was so much something you do frequently. I mean, something Paul was doing so frequently that he is making you look insane. Hallelujah. That is, he understood that Paul had immersed himself with the scriptures. He had immersed himself with the scriptures. So he knew. They couldn't argue what he said. He knew. They couldn't argue. They said, well, I think you've read this thing too much and you're looking like you're going mad. Hallelujah. Look at Acts 13. Acts 13. I read verse 26. This is Paul speaking again. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. Notice that. To you is the word of this salvation sent. The message of this salvation. What's the message? That's logos. The preaching of this salvation. Let's read verse 27 together. Oh, come on. 27, Acts 13. Let's go. For dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they had fulfilled them. They couldn't recognize. They were reading it. And there are people today, they are reading it, but they can't recognize. So the voices, that word voices of the prophets refers to is the word phrone. Phrone in the Greek. And that word has to do with language or sound or utterances. Very distinct utterance. The voices, the utterances, that which is peculiar. They were reading the prophets, but they couldn't recognize that language. There was a language they didn't get. So there's a language that you look out for when you are studying the prophets. There's a language. Paul just said it in Acts 26. The things that should come concerning Christ. There's a language that was in the prophets. A particular language. Glory to God. I said glory to God. That's why Jesus said to him in John, in John's Gospel chapter 1, when he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. He says, all things were made by him. Without him was anything made that was made. In him was life. Verse 4, verse 5, the life was the light of man. There was a man sent from God. Verse 6, whose name was John. Yet in verse 10, he says, he came to the world. Even though the world was made by him, and the world did not recognize him. Now he says he came to his own, that's Israel, the people Paul is talking about here, and his own received him not. Why did he change it? He says the world knew him not because the oracles were not committed to the world. The oracles, alright, that is the scriptures, were committed to Israel. And Israel had the oracles, they had the written materials, they had the prophecies, but it did not receive him. He said, as many as received him. Now that's not your own scripture. That's for Israel. John 1:12 is not for you and I. As many as received him in the four gospels, we have just about 400 or 120 that received him. Alright? To them, he gave the right to be called the sons of God. They were not sons, but they had the right to be called the sons of God. Hallelujah. Even to them that believe on his name. So, those who could recognize those utterances of the prophets were those who received him. They welcomed him. But not everybody did. Many people got healed in his meetings. Many people got miracles of supply, but they did not receive him as the message. That one the prophet said should come. Hallelujah. They didn't see that. And that's vital. So notice that he says in Acts 26, the voices of the prophets, I said the word is phone, phone, which is, right, they did not know. Now, the word not know in 27 is agnoheo, you know that, A-G-N-E-N-O-E-O, 22 times. It means a youth is a willful ignorance. They just chose, they had, you know, for the world, they did not have the reporters. But for Israel, they had the Bible, what we call the Holy Scriptures. But you know what? They willfully chose not to know. That was a choice. How do you know? There were those who knew. Jesus actually preached unto them in Luke's Gospel 4. He said, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. And they said, what's he talking about? This guy that went to Mojel College. We know his sisters. They are not with us. That's willful ignorance. They did not investigate. They just chose not to know. So there are some folks like that. You begin to show them the word of God. And in their mind, they have chosen not to know what you are saying. Who does he think he is? In their mind. Hallelujah. One time, I was sharing with someone about tongues, speaking in tongues. And he saw it. All the questions he had, I answered them one by one. Everything. The only questions he had that he did not ask, they're the ones that didn't exist. He said, But then, is it by force? You know, at that point, that is willful ignorance. So I said, no, that's why you are not speaking. It was by force, I'll have grabbed a hold of your mouth, and there you go. But you see, people are like that. Willful ignorance. That's why this day and age, if anybody gives you comb, or they give you toothpick, or you light candle, is willful ignorance. Because the word of God is spreading. You chose not to know. Hallelujah. We're coming on television tomorrow, 2 days, two times a day, praise God. Every day of the week, praise God. And the during the month of June, another station, praise God. We're going to have two stations, praise God. We'll broadcast around the world, Europe, America, whole of Africa, and Asia, praise God. So if you don't know, it's willful ignorance. Hallelujah. You chose not to know. You chose not to know. Hallelujah. You chose not to know. If you want to know, you will know. So there's willful ignorance. Someone say, well, how can, someone told me, he said, but he was telling someone, he said, that's a young preacher. By the end of this year, I'll be doing a quarter of a century in ministry. A quarter of a century in anything, you can't be young. Even if you're just sitting down somewhere, and you're looking. That means you're a good sitter. Hallelujah. You're just being silly. I was in a conference over the week. And a whole number of those who spoke at that conference had been exposed to our teachings at least 4 years ago when we did not know. And you are sitting there and say, who is it? Your nose like Asmodeus. You know Asmodeus? That's willful ignorance. You chose not to know. You know the point of it? Some of them will now get to hear the same things years later when they are old. I heard this thing when I was in the primary school. You heard what? You didn't hear anything.
You chose not to hear it. So the voices of the prophets was there, and they just chose not to see it.
Jesus came. Don't forget, we said it's not everything that the prophet said that should be believed. Look at Acts 13. One more time. Verse 40. For example, yes, Paul. Beware therefore, lest that come upon you, which is spoken of in the prophets. No, that's something else. Paul himself is preaching something else. Behold, ye despise and wonder and perish. For I walk a walk in your days, a walk that you shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. Can you imagine?
No, Paul is still growing here. He's adding everything. He preached the gospel, then he added threat.
He's growing in the word. Praise the Lord. So he added it. So he said, believe that. Now that's not about Christ. Hallelujah. But Paul preached it anyway. It's not about Christ. So you despise this thing, you despise this thing. Walk a walk in your days, you don't believe it. You'll be destroyed. So that's what we do. We preach and tell people, come and receive Christ. Those who wanted to receive Christ at 12 o'clock, they died at 11:45. What is that? What is that about? Well, who killed them? There was a brother like that. He wanted to go to church. They'd be preaching to him. He did not say it. He was going to church that day. And man, who just hit him and that's how he died. You are no longer preaching Christ, brother. You are threatening. You just move from Zion to Sinai quickly. Some people just move quickly. They have a bus that takes them. Pam, pam, pam. But it's just about that here. So it's not everything that they preach that you preach. Is that clear? Look at 38. Let's take 38 together. Be it known, everyone, let's go. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man he's preached unto you. Hallelujah. Preached unto you what? So there was forgiveness of sins in the prophecies. Come on, go ahead. Look at 39. And by him, hallelujah. Look at that. By him, what happened? Are justified from all things from which they could not be justified by the law of Moses. Hallelujah. They couldn't be justified by the law of Moses. So all the prophets had two messages at this point in time. They had Moses and they had Christ. All the prophets. That's how Isaiah. Who said, whoa! Woe comes from Sinai. Woe unto you! Weep! Yes, one of my favorite sermons when I was younger. In fact, my first teaching convention, 1992, the first convention that I held, and I printed flyers, the theme was Solemn Assembly. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the elders. Joel chapter 2 and 3. I won't forget. Put sackcloth and ashes. Cry. Weep. Lament. And I was doing exegesis on those things. A brother I'll never forget. Brother Emmanuel Udoko. He said, that was Rema. And I've been so... So to show that I was preaching a holy message, I said, bless you. And I'm proud. Call a solemn assembly! You know, I couldn't read, I couldn't take time. By the time I got to Joel 2:28, I skipped it. Because it would spoil my message. How can I pour out the spirit upon all flesh? The flesh that says you cry? No, I removed that one. That's how the prophets confuse you. You get that? What's wrong with this guy? Continue now. Be consistent. You started with the whoa, whoa, we're now saying that everlasting kindness. Remove kindness, bros. Whoa. I couldn't read that he says that and whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm running away from that. I said lament. So, there always are two messages. Are you there?
They had this present situation, that's the law. Then they had that which will come. Glory to God. Are you still there? Some people still will preach the two. And the prophets are begging you, stop it. Are you there? Acts 13. Look at verse 29. You learning something? And when he had fulfilled, that's talking about Christ, all that was written of him, glory to God. Now watch this. Is it everything in the Bible that was written about Jesus? No. Is it everything that the prophet said that was about Jesus? No. But he came to fulfill only the things written of him. Learn to stick to what was about you. Jesus did not come to fulfill what was said about somebody else. He came to fulfill what was said about him. All that was written concerning him. That's what he did. Watch this. They took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. Watch this. Verse 30. God raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. Woo! And he was seen many days of them that came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witness unto the people. Verse 32. Let's take that together. And we declare unto you glad tidings. How that the promise that was made unto... Woo! Glory to God. So our message from the prophet is the promise. That's the good news in there. Evangelia means what I'm going to do by myself. A law, when a law is given, you perform. When a promise is given, you receive. In a law, the obligation is on you. In a promise, it's on the promise maker. What was in the mouth of the prophets concerning us? The promise of Christ. Are you still out there? Are you still out there? He says, the glad tidings. Now, glad tidings of who? Who are we talking about? Glad tidings in the mouth of who? Where are these glad tidings? The glad tidings was written in the Old Testament. The gospel. The glad tidings was written where? In the Old Testament. Because you can only receive faith, you can only have faith from the gospel. You can't have faith from the law. Because there's no faith in the law. You can only have faith in the gospel. So in the Old Testament, when you take the prophets, you will see the gospel, you will see the law. But that which brings faith will be what? The gospel. That which brings performance will be the law. Come on, are you following this? So there's glad tidings in Isaiah. There's glad tidings in Lamentation. There's glad tidings in there. There's a law in there, but there's glad tidings in there. Glad tidings is what God said he would do by himself. Glory to God. Are you still there? So that's what Paul said. Look, the glad tidings. How that the promise which was made unto the fathers. Let's say verse 33 together. God has fulfilled. Glory to God. The same unto us. Promise Evangelion. Fulfilled plero. He has brought it to a conclusion. Watch this. Do you notice that? He says glad tidings in the mouth, in the voices of the prophets. Remember what Isaiah said. Remember we studied that. Isaiah 53 verse 1. Who has believed what? Our report. The word aman. Aman. A message. That means the message of all the prophets is the word of faith. The message of all the prophets is the word of faith. Now, when you separate them individually, they have different messages. One for Ezekiah. One for Ahab. They have different messages. Ahab, hear ye the word of the Lord. They have all that one. Okay? Say, so who is the Ahab in your life? Get up now and tell him the word of the Lord. That's a sermon on his own. But what was the message of all of them? The gospel. A man. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Let me see if you're following this. You following this? A man. The message. The voices of the prophet. The voices of the... So when you hold your Bible and you're studying it, know when you're reading the gospel and know when you're reading the law. If you mix them together, there's going to be trouble. Hallelujah. No, there are some food you don't mix up. I think these days people mix a lot of stuff. When you take beans, alright, and you put ketchup, that's variety. But you don't mix. You don't mix things that are not the same. That's what Moses was saying. You don't wear clothes of two different materials. No, you don't. No, you don't. Jesus, you don't put new wine in old wineskin. You don't put the gospel and the law together in a message. It's going to be a problem. It will cause spiritual kwashoko. You have the grace of God. You are forgiven, but ask for it. No, that's contradictory. Your sins and iniquity, I'll remember no more. However, the way that will come to pass is when you ask. You know, that's contradictory. Hallelujah. We know we are saved by grace, yes. We know we are saved by the finished work of Jesus, yes. But the Bible says, walk out your own salvation with trembling and fear. Brethren, said to walk out our salvation. Did he say walk for? He said walk out. Walk for means to get it. Walk out means you already have it. Hallelujah. So say, brethren, the people say, so that finally on the last day where you die, say, heaven at last! Heaven at last! No, heaven was the first place we got to. Hallelujah! It's not the last. When we got born again, hallelujah, we were seated together in Christ in the heavens. Your first encounter with heaven was when you received Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Say, heaven at last! No, it's heaven at first. Hallelujah. So you don't mix the sermons. You don't mix the messages. You separate them. Glory to God. Are you there? So, where does faith come? Faith comes by hearing. Romans 10. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing what? Faith is by hearing. Hearing what? Hearing the message of Christ. You know, King James says, the word of God. Is the message of Christ. You find faith. Now, where is that message of Christ? The Old Testament. Faith is in the message of Christ in the Old Testament. Are you there? Are you there? Let's follow. Come on, go on. Look at Acts 10. Acts of the Apostles chapter 10. Learning something here? Acts 10. Oh, hallelujah. Peter is speaking here. Verse 42. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify. Oh, that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. That's the one who was alive and dead. Let's take 43 together. To give him. To him give what? All the prophets. What? How many of the prophets? All. Witness. That through his name. Come on, let's take it together. Come on. Hey, there are some verses, when you read them, you shout. Pastor Chris calls them shouting verses. You don't read them and say, to him, you don't know the difference. In the year King Uzziah died. I preached that sermon. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. When there's a Uzziah, you cannot see the Lord. What is Uzziah? Uzziah is that thing that does not allow you to have revelation. King Uzziah has no bearing here. King Uzziah is King Uzziah. Hallelujah. I saw the Lord. In the Lord you ask, where is the Uzziah? He has to die. To die means it's not existing again. Are you still there? Come on, look at this. To him, verse 43, let's take together. To him give all the prophets witness. That through his name, whosoever, shall receive the remission of sin. Whosoever believes. Where do you get that? You get that from the prophets.
The Lord says, whosoever shall do. They will say, do. And they will say, believe. So, you drop the do, because no one can be justified by that one. You now take the one who says, believe. That's how to study their books. Are you following me? Are you there? The word, give witness. It's the word material. You know, material, we use material a lot of times. It means to witness by speaking. That is, he's talking about their prophecies. They spoke about Christ in their prophecies. So, let me ask a question. Was faith possible in the old covenant? Yes. Faith was very possible, but not in the law. Faith is for justification, but not the law. Not the law. No one can be justified by the law, but they are justified by the gospel that was preached in the old covenant. See there? Go back to Acts 13. Acts 13, 39. Oh, glory. Acts 13, 39. By him, all that believe are justified from all things, from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. You couldn't be justified by the law of Moses. Is that very clear? Is that very clear? You couldn't be justified by the law of Moses. Look at chapter 15, verse 10. Peter is speaking here. Now, therefore, are you there? Let's take it together. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers, everybody, nor we, were able to bear. Why did he say that? Because verse 9, he says, putting no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by what? By faith. Verse 11, and we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. Hallelujah. What was the problem? The problem was verse 1. Except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Some people were preaching Moses. Then verse 5. Some folks rose up. They are believers. Oh, they are believers. These are Pharisees. Some people are born again, but they are still Pharisees. They are believers. Oh, they are believers. And the Bible says they had a large following. They can have a church. They can even call it gospel church. Don't mind them. They are not telling the truth. They can have a large church. They can have all the compliments. That's why it's a foolish Christian that gets carried away by church building, backdrop. Or they say, you are a stupid person. You can get that without being born again. If you go to real concerts, did you watch Real Madrid yesterday? My son is still angry. I didn't know. We were watching it. I saw that he was, you moved. He said he's now Atletico Madrid. I said, no problem. Let's see how it goes. So, as an equalizer, he was running out of the house. I was looking at him. Me, your father. As a one, as Madrid won, because I placed my bet, not money. There's a brother that is coming to the service. He has promised me some things. So, and I promised him some things too. By the way of fivefold ministry. Do you know? Did you see the walk? You know, the thing was beautiful. You see how they covered the pitch? And this lady, Alicia Keys, or whatever her name, she sang. And then they took it up and the match started almost immediately. Then you are going to church to see that. Are you okay? That should not be why you go to church. Or music. Christians don't have better music than unbelievers. We learn from them. Don't let this ourselves. We come to church to learn about Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying? All about Jesus. The Holy Spirit is not coming to do what the world is doing. He came to show us Jesus Christ. Are you there? So some folks, they can have Moses. They were preaching Moses. They are believers. They are Pharisee believers. Sect. They say, I have sect of the Pharisees. There are some folks like that in the body of Christ. Say, someone said, I don't know what people are preaching all over the place.
Rather than preaching true doctrine, they are preaching Jesus. I'm not joking. He's a prominent minister in this country. When I was in university, someone said, there's a people now on the campus who say, they are calling themselves new creation. He says, are you okay? They are calling themselves. Yeah, that's what they are calling themselves. They're no longer believers or Christians. They are now new creation. And if a pastor, if he was a pastor of a church, and people are there. They come there every Sunday and they call it church. Let's go further. So they were a sect. A sect. Now, the problem with those guys is not Moses. It's the fact that if they really read Moses, they'll believe in Jesus. Because Moses witnessed of Christ. There is the gospel in Moses' writings too. They didn't read Moses properly. Because what did Paul say? He says, which was witnessed by all the prophets and Moses. What did Jesus say? He explained it to them in all the scriptures, and that included Moses. Are you following what I'm saying here? But not all that Moses said. The gospel in the words of Moses. Hallelujah. Watch this. You realize it. If you've not studied Law and Prophets 1, please go quickly. It's compulsory. From today, it's vital for you to understand how we got here. So, here we are. John 5. So, not everything in Moses is the law. Are you aware of that? There's the gospel in Moses' words. John 5. Thank you, Lord Jesus. John 5. So, you should ask somebody. If somebody comes on your pulpit and finish preaching Moses, say, are you a lawyer or are you a gospel preacher? No, lawyer, I'm not talking about the lawyer. Lawyer, those who hold, lawgiver, sorry. That's the better one. Sorry for that. That was a slip of tongue. That's not the gospel. John 5. Look at 45. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you. Who is that? Moses. I want you to see, when you read the Bible, very intelligent. There's one that accuses you. That's what categorio, which means to bring a condemnation against you. To tell you what you have done wrong. That is Moses. In whom you trust. Pay attention. So, Moses accused them. They trusted that. Listen very well. Listen very well to this. Moses accused them. They trusted that. And that's exactly what those Pharisee believers were doing. Categorio is the same word used for the devil. The accuser of the brethren. Revelation 12, 10 and 11. Same word. Because what Moses was simply doing was telling them the consequence of sin. Now, look at 46. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me. It looks contradictory. For he wrote of me. Now, is Jesus talking about the same things? No. There's a part Moses accused them. There's a part he wrote of Jesus. Can you see it? Can you see it? So when you take the books, the words of Moses, you will find accusation and then you will find forgiveness of sins. But this Pharisee sect of believers, they speak in tongues. So these people speak in tongues. These people in Acts 15, they speak in tongues. They prophesy. But their belief system was twisted. Are you there? So they had Moses. Christ and Moses. They had Moses in Moses. So they trusted Moses in Moses and did not accept Christ in Moses. Is that clear? The same books. That's why Jesus had to take them through all the scriptures. The things concerning himself. If everything they wrote was about Jesus, there's no need for interpretation. Are you following? Are you following this? He wasn't referring to the same things. Moses, that means, in the message of Moses, we had accusation and we had the gospel. Does that make sense to you? Does that make sense to you? Huh? We had both accusation and... So, those guys in Acts 15, what did they have? What did they hold on to? Accusation. When Jesus was teaching in Luke 24, what was he explaining? The gospel. So you will have to look for the gospel in those books. I like David. I like David. Nathan came to him. Said, gave him a parable. Well, David said, I don't know. He said, who are you talking about? Say, you are the man. He said, therefore. And he began to condemn David. David, toy clothes! You know, that's what we saw. But when we read his own recording, David began to say, I was conceived in sin. See how he's beating himself out. Yes. Then he says, create in me a new heart. Renew a right spirit. Say, do not cast me from your presence. Don't take the Holy Spirit from me. That's the one. That's not Naban. So when somebody says, no, you better say what you want to say. Is it not Holy Ghost? He prophesied. Don't. Hallelujah. He prophesied his own. That's your own, my guy. Hallelujah. You cannot build the temple. Only your son can build it. Because the prophet had authority. Only your son. Because there's blood in your hand. There's blood. So who shall ascend to the Holy Ghost? He who has cleansed his hand. He, one person. You knew what he was saying. He said, he shall see, his seed shall declare a generation. Who is talking? Talking about Jesus. Who doesn't have blood in his hand? You knew what he was saying. Say, Lord, myself, I shall not want. Say, even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I fear no evil. That's not your own confession. Valley of shadow of death is for those who are not born again. I fear no evil. For you are with me. Say, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Whatever you are saying, I will be there forever. Which house? Is the house still here? He knew what where he was going. Hallelujah. He knew where he was going. So as you are saying, you only were saying his own. Glory to God. And who did Jesus sit on his throne? David. Not Solomon. Smart guy. After all, it was still the Bathsheba that gave him Solomon. He now chose the same Solomon to be the king after him. Leave that aside. Look at this. Moses had accusations and he had the gospel. Glory to God. Are you there? So when you study it, separate, rightly divide. Do you understand? Know the law and know the gospel, even in the Old Testament. Genesis 15. You learning something? Are you learning something? Genesis 15. Abraham, verse 6, believed God. And believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. The first place we find to believe. Here, faith. What did he believe? And interestingly, you know, this same word to believe God is the word aman. So, he believed the report. He believed the report. So, the very first place we find faith mentioned to believe in the old covenant is for justification. It's for justification. To justify. So righteousness, that means in the Old Testament, we'll find righteousness of conduct, which can never measure up. If you do this, if you dress that way, if you do this one, if you do that one, we'll find that. But then we'll not find righteousness through faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Through faith. So faith in the Old Testament, we'll see now, But when I say Old Testament, don't forget, Old Testament started from Exodus. Okay? But I'm saying Old Testament books. Okay? Genesis. Genesis 15, 6. Faith is for justification. To be justified. The gospel. Remember, Genesis chapter 2, quickly go there. Verse 2 and 3. Justification means you'll be treated as not without sin. Genesis 2, verse 2 and 3. When God finished, the Bible says, He finished the heavens and the earth. Then He rested on the seventh day. And then He sanctified it. Kodesh. He sanctified it. Now, you can read that and feel what's he talking about. Now, back up a bit. Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it's what? The power of God unto salvation. Therein, what is revealed in there? The righteousness of God. So, if you are preaching the Bible and what you are saying is not the righteousness of God, that's not the gospel. Righteousness of God. Revealed from where? Faith to faith. That means, look at this. This is what it means. When I own the Old Testament, I will see righteousness revealed by what? Faith. I will see righteousness in the faith of those folks. So I will say, from one level of faith to another. Keep writing. Well, it was not talking about level. From faith to faith is a continual journey in the scriptures. You will see faith. That's what Hebrews 11 was talking about. From Abel to Noah, from Abel to Enoch to Noah to Abraham. Faith through what? Faith. You see the gospel revealed from faith to faith. You see it in the faith of Abel, the faith of Enoch, the faith of Noah, the faith of Abraham, the faith of Isaac, the faith of Jacob. Are you following what I'm saying here? You see that faith justified all of them to believe the gospel, to believe the message from faith to faith. Hallelujah. So, seventh day. God, 7 days, not Sunday. 7 days is a day of redemption. Now, listen to this. The Bible says He finished it. He rested. It's called Sabbath. Sabbath in the Hebrew means to stop. To cease from. To stop. To hold on. So, He rested. He rested. After He had finished. Hallelujah. And that rest is for man. So in other words, man enters into the rest of God's finished work in Christ. Hallelujah. How do you enter? You enter by faith. You enter by faith. You enter by believing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because this one is called the rest of God. The Sabbath of God. There is a Sabbath that was made by man. That one is Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. That's the Sabbath made by man. Look at Mark's Gospel 2. Mark's Gospel 2, 27. There's a Sabbath of God. The Sabbath, the rest of God, which is you cease from your works. That's why I tell people, faith is not because man sinned. Faith was ordained of God before man sinned. God ordained faith. Abraham and Adam ought to have lived by faith. Adam didn't live by faith. He didn't receive the gospel. He didn't receive the finished work of redemption. That's what happened to him. The finished work of Christ, pardon me. That's what he didn't do. He didn't do. Because God ordained rest before Adam sinned. And Adam never entered into that rest in Genesis chapter 3. Bible says before the foundation of the world. Genesis chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. So, the Sabbath people now held onto was the one Moses gave them. Mark 2. Mark's Gospel chapter 2. Verse 27. When they came to accuse each other, oh, Sabbath, you guys are eating corn or popcorn. He says, the Sabbath was made for man. And not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. That word made for, wrongly put together, the word made for is made on account of. That is, it's a man who made it. The day you are referring to is a man who made it. Made on account of man. People still observe Sabbath days. Christian. The Sabbath is in a person. Hallelujah. You enter it by faith. Every day is rest for us. Hallelujah. See, I'm in the rest of God. So I'm in the rest of God. So, what is faith primarily for in the Bible? Huh? What? For prayer? For money? What's faith for? For justification. Abraham had money. Bible didn't say by faith. Abraham had wealth, it wasn't by faith. But Abraham was justified by faith. Faith is revealed in the righteousness of God. Romans 1:16-17. And people teach faith today primarily about things. Whereas faith in the Bible is about a person. Abraham believed in the Lord. Abraham believed God. Are you ready to believe God? Abraham believed God. What did he believe? God. Well, the Bible says demons also believe and tremble. Galatians 3:8. God had preached the gospel before to Abraham. You can't have faith without the gospel. Faith is in the gospel. Galatians 3:8. So what did Abraham believe? The gospel is about Jesus Christ. So faith is for the gospel. Faith is for righteousness. Hallelujah. So, the Sabbath of days was made by who? Man for man. The Sabbath of God is in Christ. And you enter by faith. Glory to His name. I said glory to His name. So, that means if you read the Old Testament, you'll find two Sabbaths. You'll find the Sabbath of Sunday or Saturday, depending on which one you choose. People are still fighting over that. Then you'll find the Sabbath in a person. In the same book. Glory to God. That's why, you know, when they entered Canaan, look at David's argument. David said, after they had gotten to Canaan, the Bible says there still remained a rest. Hallelujah. There still remained a rest. In other words, you will find the two things there. One was a physical thing. Then there's the rest. Hallelujah. Just like the Ark of Noah saved his son. But some of his sons, one of his sons was not a believer. Hallelujah. Are you still there? The Bible says. So you notice that he's talking about faith. Faith for justification. We're justified by faith. We have peace with God. See, I have peace with God. Shall have peace with God. Glory to His name. Why did Moses do it? Why did Moses give them a day of rest? Why? Jesus, when it came to Jesus in Matthew 19, said, well, Moses said that if a man should divorce his wife, for what reason a man divorce his wife? Jesus said that there's no reason. He said, well, but Moses gave us a law. And Jesus said, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart. You know, hardness of the heart in the Bible is unbelief. Hardness of the heart is unbelief. That's why I use the word pros, sclerocardian, haimon, epithet friends. I've told you that before. It means looking at your heart, looking at how you rejected the gospel, He gave you a day. You don't want to believe. So he said, on this day, you must not. Now, do you notice that in the rest of God, follow this one, it's God that does something. In the rest of man, it's man that does something. You must not. In the rest of God, God ceases. Hallelujah. He ceases. In the rest of man, man ceases. Our own work in the rest of God is to believe. We just believe. So he gave them a day. They don't believe in the sacrifice of Jesus, he gave them animals. You'll be putting animals into the temple every day. Put it down. Put blood on your head. You don't believe in the gospel, you'll be using blood. But thanks be unto God. We that have believed, we have entered the rest of God. Hallelujah. We're in the day now. Glory to his name. Are you there? Later, a preacher was saying that, and that this particular preacher has a way of threatening Christians. But the gospel is out. Hallelujah. He said, if you eat the communion in the afternoon, you are sinning. He said, you may die. He said, because it is called Lord's Supper. It must be eaten after six. And it's a very large church. They were shaking. A very large church. And the man has a mien of holiness. Not God's holiness. And you know, some folks believe that when somebody fasts a lot, I do fast. I fasted to a point, doctors warned me I'll fast to go to heaven if I'm not careful. But I still fast a whole lot. Sometimes I go many, many days. So I believe in fasting. But you see, some folks, be careful. When somebody does not know the Bible and is fasting, because normally when you're fasting, there's a blood sugar. No, scientifically, you begin to see things. Now, I'm not joking. I'm not really joking here. I'm serious. So, when someone says he fasts a whole lot for 90 days and he's not studying Christ, he will see things. He will. He will see all sorts. That's where they get all these. They went to heaven. Somebody was queuing up. Somebody was lying down because they are fasting. You've not been eating well, sir. Both naturally and spiritually. That's where they see all those things. That they show them that the book of life does not have your name. It's fast. You think I'm joking? I'm not joking, really. Okay, let's run. So, Paul calls those things that Moses gave. Sabbath day, food, he calls them commandments of men. Because they were commandments of Moses that he himself did not follow. That's why when he took another woman from another tribe and his brother and sister were talking. Clear the way, said the Lord told him. Is he not the one that told him? He put leprosy on one quickly. Moses. That's Moses. He didn't follow the law he gave. Because he knew that salvation was in Christ. He never entered that temple. Go and read your Bible. He didn't go to the temple with them. Say, Aaron, you'll be taking care of this. Make sure that they dress well. Make sure. So when they will go to the temple, he will go elsewhere to talk with God. Ah, where were we now? Colossians 2. Are you there? Glory to God. He says, taste not. Touch not, verse 21. Handle not, which are all to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men. Commandments and doctrines of men. I asked the pastor, why do you ask your women in your church to cover their head? Ah, he said the Bible says because of angels. Angels, you just come in and sleep with them. I know, you know what happened in Genesis 6? They begin to give back to giants. I now ask a simple question. I try to think. I said, when last did you see those giants in the earth? Said, that was in the Bible. I said, that presupposes that everybody in the earth covers their head. Or is it only Christians that these angels come after? Is an inheritance in Christ? He said, no. I said, let me ask another one. What if you are in the south? They don't like to come. It's just church service. A screw is missing in your brain. Where were we? Okay, commandments of men. Hallelujah. Commandments of men. Somebody was asking me, sir, 2 days ago, 3 days ago on Facebook. You know, them take me as a side pastor. You know what it is? They They go to another church. They'll be asking me questions. When I say, go ask your pastor. I'm not your pastor. I pastor community church. Go ask your pastor. Don't come and stress me. I'm joking, really. I attend to everybody. But I was just teaching the best thing that, you know. Because it's better to come to a place where you hear the word of God every time. You won't have to be thinking, is it the Bible? Is this thing the Bible? You know how many Bible verses you have read? By the time I'm through with you, you know, you will see the Bible. Hallelujah. You get it? Commandments of men. Teresa, am I qualified to take the communion on Sunday? Say, it depends. Say, why? If you are not hungry, don't bother. I don't eat when I'm not hungry. That's the only reason why there will be a problem. Okay. Hebrews 11 verse. Are you learning something here? Sometimes when I say things like it, help you also teach others. Is that clear? Hebrews 11 verse. Now faith is the substance of things of God. That's the Old Testament. Come on. The evidence of things not seen. So they were justified of things they hoped for. They were justified of things they had not seen. That's what faith was to them. Hallelujah. Things hoped for. Things not seen. The words of the prophets. Go to Hebrews 1:1. God, who has so many times, I thought we consecrated that, right? The prophets spoke about what? Nope. They spoke to the people in what? In types and shadows. Hebrews 1:1. But God, in verse 2, spoke to us in His Son. So Hebrews 1:1, the prophet. Hebrews 1:2, God. God spoke in His Son. What did He say in His Son? He upholds all things. Go to Hebrews 1:3. He upholds all things by the word of His power. Hallelujah. The word uphold all things means to bear. Not is upholding the universe, not the universe. He upholds all things. What things? The word uphold is the word Pharaoh. P-H-E-R-O. Upholds all things by the word of His power. Upholds all things by the word of His power. It means to take responsibility for something. So, everything that the prophet said, God took responsibility for. Do you understand that? And what was it? What was that fulfillment? When He had by Himself purged our sins. Hallelujah. What did He do? Hebrews 1:3. Huh? Sat down. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, how did He uphold all things? By sitting now at the right hand of God. Glory to God. I said glory to God. I said glory to God. Upholding all things by the word of His power. He sat down at the right hand of God. Look at that word Hebrews 12:2 again. He sat down. He sat down. So what were the things their faith was hoping for? What were the things their faith hadn't seen? Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father. But that's past tense to us now. That's not hope to us now. That's not an expectation to us now. That's what we see. Glory to His name. I said glory to His name. Go to Hebrews again. So, what did they prophesy? What were they talking about? Jesus seated at the right hand of God. Hebrews 11. By it, talking about by faith, the elders obtained a good report. The elders are the patriarchs of Israel. Someone was preaching years back. He said, elder, how do you know a good spiritual elder? He obtains a good report. Are you obtaining this good report? See this now. It's clear what he's talking about. The patriarchs, and he mentioned them one by one. Hallelujah. The patriarchs obtained a good report. Hallelujah. Now, did they obtain a good report of all that they did? No. Because some of them didn't really have good lifestyles. Not Abraham. Not Noah. Amen. They didn't really, everything wasn't so smooth with them. Not Isaac. You know, Isaac could not even recognize who his son was. Not Jacob. Sure, not Jacob. Not Moses. No, not David. No, 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 not Solomon. No,
not Samson. Not Samson. No, not Samson. No, no, no. That's how what? Samson.
But he had a good report by faith. That is, they were justified by. That's why none of them has his deeds, the not too good ones, repeated in the epistles. None of them. Bathsheba does not have a Greek word. Delilah is not known. Imagine who was now known. Rahab the harlot. Rahab by faith. Glory to God. Look at her faith. I'll share this with folks. Her faith was that they said, are the spies there? She said, no. Moses would have cut off her head. Lie not to your neighbor. But she said it by faith. Deal with that. Deal with that. Moses' parents hid him from the authorities. Is there a baby there? No. And the Bible says that was by faith. Deal with that. Be quiet. It's good to you're in that position. So there is she. Hallelujah. A great report by faith. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. So faith was about justification. That's why Hebrews 12:23 says the spirit of who? The just man. The just man. Talking about those old-time folks. The spirit of the just man perfected. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, righteousness from Genesis to Malachi was by what? Faith. But then you will find righteousness by works too. So you have to rightly divide. Are you following? And if you want to destroy your audience, put the two together. I know you are righteous, but you have to produce righteousness. Go and see that somewhere. Righteousness is who you are. Holiness is what you do. Clap for yourself. You have tried. At least you said it too. You have tried. Hallelujah. I'm not there right now. So, faith was for justification. So, what do we do? Remember, we are to take the books of the prophet and mark the scripts. Right? And say, what do I call Isaiah? You know, Elijah was called Zero. Oh, he was called Zero. Zero. There's not one utterance of Elijah about Christ. Not one. The only thing we remember is that he prayed. And who mentioned it? James. The only time Paul talked about him, he said he was saying, all I've left you. And God says, no. Now, the only thing Paul said about him was a rebuke. And some people will do theories on Elijah and Elisha. If Elijah has no mention, what's Elisha doing there? And he did a series on people that the apostles did not talk about, except their prayer lives. Me too, when I pray, prayer, he prayed. Elijah prayed, and he prayed again. Said, and James, I love the way James said, the earnest prayer of a righteous man. Said, Elijah, so we know he's righteous, so he's in Christ. But nothing else. No utterance. We can't study. That's why he has no book. With all his exploits. When John the Baptist came, he said, the greater than Elijah is here. Hallelujah. So, we mark the scripts of the Old Testament prophets. Because we are superior. Let me say that. I said we are superior. So you say we are so. Say I am superior. Hallelujah. You are superior. Have you met scripts of people in lower levels before? Or maybe in secondary school, they have, your teacher says, you don't say, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. The Bible just asks you to go back to maybe GSS 1. You can mark the script. You can look and say, no, this is wrong. Elijah, this is wrong. You shouldn't have said this. Isaiah, no. Why was this? What is the meaning of this? remove it. Okay. Correction. See me. Have you gotten see me before from your teacher? That means your case has passed. They see me. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 3:15. From a child you have known the holy scriptures which are able to make thee wise. So phizo means you are skillful. How are you wise? Unto salvation through faith which is in Christ. That means when I'm studying their books, I mark it according to what? Salvation through faith which is in Christ. Look at Luke's Gospel chapter 9. Are you following this? Luke's Gospel chapter 9. Amen. Luke's Gospel chapter 9. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, you know what they said? They said, look. Luke's Gospel chapter 9. And when his disciples, verse 54, James and John saw this, they said, Lord, would thou that we command fire to come down? Why not say? He said, you tell us to do it. Command fire from heaven and consume after being with Jesus. And consume them as Elijah did. Consume. God of Elijah, send down fire. God of Elijah, send down fire. God of Elijah. Who is the God of Elijah that sent down fire? It's not the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say it again. It's not God that destroyed the forest of Baal. It's not God that killed Goliath. Huh? God was not involved. Amen? Up of Jesus. You know, we just heard about Jesus now. You're saying, yes, it's about Jesus. Now you are getting scared. He's not God. Look at what Jesus said. Lord, come on fire. How can this who insult you? You know, the point was that he sent them to go and preach. And people did not accept and said, come on fire. If I be a man of God, if I be a man of God, let these people be reduced to powder. Fire! Jesus turned and rebuked them. So you got to rebuke Elijah. Can you see it? You got to rebuke Elijah. There are things they did you have to rebuke. What they said here was, is it not in the Bible? Were they lying? Were they lying? You rebuke him. What is this? What's that? He rebuked Elijah. Know ye not what manner of spirit you are of? For the Son of Man, God in the flesh. Hallelujah. Say, he that has seen me has seen the Father. Has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save. How about that? I said, how about that? He has come to save. Know ye not? The word know is the word hohida. That means you cannot realize. You have not come to realize. That means he expected them to have noticed how he was different. But he did not know. A lady who came for our meetings years back, 97. And she said, I'm so blessed by your preaching, sir. Man, that was the gospel. I remember I taught them a series of supernatural ministry of Jesus. And she's so blessed. Oh, the righteousness of God in Christ. So one day, we're university then. She had a problem with the faculty. They asked her to do an extra year. So I met her in a friend's house. And the friend wasn't at home, so I saw her. She was really raving. Her hair was up. Sister, how are you? It's good I met you too. I said, what's the problem? So I told Pastor. He said, I won't get into this school. Sir, you will die tonight. I said, yeah. How Christians can say die and their heart is not shaking amazes me. Die tonight. Yeah. Because I'm the apple of his eye. God cannot force this to happen to me. When nobody is dying. I said, yeah, nobody is dying. Sir, I'm the apple of his eye. I'm the girlfriend of his whatever. So I left her alone. Because if you try to, at that point, she's raving mad. She liked what I preached, but she had other things. So people read many preachers. They have Elijah, Moses, and Christ in the same book. You are blessed. You are trying, no? But be careful because it can affect the mind. When you have too many contradictions, you know you can. Other side. By the next semester, I saw her. We bought food at the canteen of the faculty. I said, good afternoon. Then, afternoon. Because the man did not die. She didn't die. I didn't die. We're all in the same faculty. The man rose to be the dean. What manner of spirit you are of? That word is hoios in the Greek. Hoios. It means uniqueness. It's a relative word that shows a different kind of spirit. We're going to study that. The Holy Ghost does not destroy. Do you hear me? The Spirit of God does not destroy. The Son of Man came to save. Can you imagine? He sent them. Look, these people are very funny. And this, you know, it's, look at Luke 9. Look at what he sent them to do. Look at what they were saying. Look at Luke 9, verse 1 and 2. He gave them power. Right? He gave them power. He gave them power and authority over devils. Not with devils. To cure diseases. Not to inflict diseases on people. Say, if I step out of this place, I don't accept my message. Have you heard this word before, Shokono? He says, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. That's what he sent them. Look at what they got into. They got into destroying people. So it's possible that God will send someone something else. This is God in the flesh. Yeah, yes, sir. We will go. We will go forth. We speak to nations. We speak to. As they got there, they don't say what they said. They say, I beg, fire, fire here, fire. This is different. This does not look like they need Christ. These ones need fire. Let's look at Egypt. Who brought the plagues in Egypt? Let me allow this message to come. I want to say this one very well. Who brought the plagues? Do I have time? Do I have time? I don't detail. You don't detail to me. I was just joking. It's when I stop that I stop. You know, you did not invite me to preach. I'm the pastor. If you don't like it, it's you that will go and come back. It's me that will not go. It's when I want to stop that I'll stop. Amen. Who brought the plagues? Is this getting clear to you? You know, it's easy to say the gospel, that's the law. Let's not leave what they said. Let's see what they did. You know, what they said is easy to say, this is not, but let's see what they did. Who brought the plagues in Egypt? Do you know that nobody in the epistles repeated David and Goliath's story? And David is so glad he did not. And we are preaching, even myself, we are preaching sermons on faith. He kept saying, Goliath said, David said. Goliath said, David said. Goliath said, David said. He now cut his head.
There was someone I preached years back on that place. I think it was something like 95 or 6.
I said, what he did? He removed his head. Oh, what does that mean? The Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ will soon crush Satan under your feet. He stripped him of authority. His head is the authority.
Simple murder. What's that? What was that story?
Okay, let me start. Was it in Egypt? Who caused the plague? Now, the first thing you need to realize is that in the Old Testament, Satan was concealed. He was in the background. There was no clear-cut explanation of Satan. That's why most would have preached sovereignty. They like the Old Testament. That God is the one doing everything. Have you observed they like the Old Testament? Muslims appreciate the Old Testament. Because it agrees with the God they serve. It does. I remember I was speaking to a Muslim. Was it somewhere, sometime in before camp meeting? And I said, I'm not going to talk about the New Testament. I'm going to preach Jesus to you from the Old Testament. Because I've read the Old Testament. I read it every month. So I'm going to read the Old Testament to you. We both agree on the Old Testament. Yes. So it's, you saw that they like the Old Testament because in the Old Testament, it's for natural men. Things are mixed together. God was named as the sole actor of good and evil. So it was good he came himself to clarify matters. Hallelujah. So, look at Job's case. Read this place. Look at Job 121. Turn to Job quickly. Job 121. Are you there? Read it. Huh? You're not even there. Job 121. Let's go. Naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return either. The Lord gained. The Lord has taken. Huh? Do you agree with that statement? Is that statement true? Did the Lord take away? But he said so. Why? Because he did not know who took away. Look at Job 2, verse 10. Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? Job 3:25. For the thing, pay attention to this. For the thing that I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come. I was not in safety, neither had I rest. Neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. So you can see that the man was never a man of faith. Now look at Job 42 verse 5, at the very end. You know, there are a lot of people that quote Job's foolish friends today. Thou shalt decree, things shall be established. You know what thing he's talking about? Don't decree a thing. Which thing? Job 45. I have heard thee by the hearing of my ears, but now my eyes see thee. That word, hear thee by the hearing of my ears, is the same thing as rumors. Incomplete stories. So whatever he was saying it based on the information he had. And the same thing applies to all the folks in the Old Testament. They could not act beyond the revelation of God. Now, the epistles are what? Revelation to us. The epistles uncover. What the epistles have done is that the epistles have distinguished God and the devil. In the Old Testament, they were brothers. Or maybe father and son. But the epistles unveil it to us. Go to Matthew 16. Let's see something quickly. So, is it possible for someone to yield to the Holy Ghost and yield to Satan? Yes. Obviously, those folks in Luke 9, they were to yield to Satan. So, Jesus rebuked them. That word, ekwetemesen, is the same words used when Jesus rebukes devils or raging storm or Pharisees. When he rebuked them, it's the same way he spoke to demons. So, is it possible for a fellow, let me ask that question one more time. Is it possible for someone to yield to the Holy Ghost and yield to the devil? I'm asking a question. Thank you. Look at Matthew 16. Peter. In Matthew 16, Peter said in verse 16, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed them unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." So at that very minute, did Simon receive a revelation from God? Yes. I'm asking a question. Did he? Now, look at a few verses after. The same person. Look at verse 23. Let's read together 23. And who? And Jesus, and he turned. And what? Matthew 16:23. Let's read it together. "Get behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savourest not the things that be of God." Who was he talking to? Peter. In verse 17, who was he talking to? 23, who was he talking to? So Peter yielded to God and yielded to Satan. Say, "You are an offense to me." What do you call that? That's like an eclipse, right? Conquer an eclipse. Eclipse of he has two conflicting experiences. All of a sudden, he moves from light to shadow and darkness. In the same breath. Same person. Remember John the Baptist. How can you picture somebody who said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole world." And then shortly after he said, "Are you the one to come or should we expect another?" The same person. And Jesus says, "Blessed is the man who is not offended in me." So, John the Baptist yielded to God and yielded to the devil. And certainly is the greatest of the prophets. That was why, when he was in the Holy Ghost, or when he yielded to the Holy Ghost, I'll put that in a semicolon. He said, "This is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." But if you observe his sermons, I don't have time because of today, because I need to rush. You notice that? He will be talking, he will say, "Sleep on the Lord to come. You this, you that." Then he will say, "The Lamb that takes the sin." You see conflicting signals in his message. Now wait. After he said he will increase, I will decrease. Okay? That I baptize the water, but he that comes after me, baptize the Holy Ghost and all that. When he said that, what was he going to do in Herod's house? That thing does not leave body. He's used to condemning people. You know, Jesus did not preach a single sermon on what Herod did. A single sermon. You do a sermon on the president of Nigeria, on governors. Who sent you? "I declare, just like King Assyria in the Bible, oh you governor." Are you okay? Is that a ministry? And Paul writes to the Corinthians, say, "I declare unto President Buhari." How is that your sermon? How is that a sermon? How is that the gospel of Christ? This is what John found himself doing. So he says, "You are an offense to me." He says, "You savor the things that are of men." The things that are of men. Look at Isaiah's case. We saw it last week. Isaiah 45, 7. Quickly go there. We'll come to Moses in a moment. Look at Isaiah 45, verse 7. So, in those books before the epistles, we'll find conflicting signals. Men will yield to the flesh. Okay? You savour the things of men, that is the flesh, and then they'll yield to the spirit. Look at it. That's why you'll find an Elijah will raise the dead and he will kill. How can you do the two? He will raise the dead, then he will kill people. It's not the same spirit. Look at that for 45 and 7. Read it. Huh? I will. Uh-huh. That's wapa. I do what? Look at 1 John 1:5. Are you 1 John 1:5? And I create evil. Now, let me ask you, before we go further, look up. Without doing any hermeneutics, do you believe Isaiah? Eh? Did you believe Job? You believe Job? People still say it in burial. The Lord gave her, the Lord take her. There be name of the Lord. When we were in school, something happened to some folks. So a guy was telling me on the faculty, the guy is a pastor, was a pastor. He said, we don't know who is next, so I said, I know. I said, who? I said, you. Why did I say that? Why did I say that? Well, you said you don't know, I informed you. Something is wrong with you. You don't know who is next. Are you working for the devil? 1 John 1:5, are you there? What does he say? God is who? In him is no. So who do you stay with? Huh? Who is speaking here? The spirit of truth. Who spoke in Isaiah 45? Is that Isaac? That I form darkness is who? No, that's the devil. They couldn't separate the personalities. That's the devil. I do evil. That's not. Amos said that has there been evil done in the land and the Lord has not done it? John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made, and in Him was what? Life. And the life was what? Light. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness couldn't comprehend. Hallelujah. John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He that follows me will not walk in darkness. Glory to God. What do we call the kingdom of the devil? The power of darkness. So, we are rebuking Isaiah. I'm not talking to Isaiah. I'm leaving him to you next week. He has a very, you know, over Sabi. You know, the guys that write, they write, they say, time up, they're still writing. That's Isaiah. We are coming to him. He overtalked. Hallelujah. You know, Jonah didn't say so much. You know, Jonah last week. You know, look at Jonah. You remember Jonah? What did Jonah score? I mean, I didn't score him because my own is different. I've had much of script before. So the epistles are the marking scheme. I wrote this in my notes. May bless you. The four gospels are mock exams. So, Jesus didn't say much. The epistles are the marking scheme. We go from the epistles to the Old Testament and we mark what they have said. No, this is not correct. This is correct. This is not correct. This is correct. Not correct. This is correct. Because the Spirit of Truth was given to guide us into all of the truth. So before the Spirit of Truth was given, John 16:12, they did not have all of the truth. So let's go to Moses. Numbers 20. Are you learning something here? Numbers 20. Pay attention to this very well. Now, from verse 1 to 12, the Bible says there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people showed with Moses and spake, saying, "Would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord? And why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into the wilderness, and we and our cattle should die here, there? And wherefore have you made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place? It's no place of seed or figs or vines and well all or not." And Moses went from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and he fell upon everything, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. Lord spake unto Moses. Notice what happened here. Verse 8. Take the rod. Gather thou the assembly together. Go on. And speak ye unto the rock before their eyes. It shall bring forth this water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so that they give communion and their beasts to drink. Now, that was what he said Moses should do. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said, "Hear now, you rebels." Did he ask him to say that? "Must we fetch you water out of this rock?" James 1:20, "For the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God." I'm going to explain that tomorrow on judgments of God. The wrath of man does not work with God. The wrath of man is called the work of the flesh. And the work of the flesh is a template or a ground for Hebrews phrase to walk. The wrath of man does not work. So, and Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank and their beasts. Verse 12. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron, "Because you believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring congregation to the land which I have given them." So, you can see there was anger. And God was misrepresented. This is just a pattern. So there were things Moses did in anger. There were things he did in the flesh. Do you notice that water came out? I'm asking the question. Did you notice it? Water came out. Yet, that was not what God asked him to do. And the water came out. Now pay attention. That was not even what God told him to say. So we find a pattern. One, God was misrepresented. Do you know the way he acted? He acted like God was angry. And God was not. Are you following this? God was not. He acted like God was angry. And God wasn't. Because the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. The wrath of man. Remember, when Paul thought about wrath, he said, "Give no place to the devil." Ephesians 4:27. 26 says, "Don't let the sun go down upon you." Say, give no place to the devil. So when we yield to wrath, we yield to the devil. And that's as Moses. So, watch this. Are you following this? Now, Exodus 12. We're going to look at two major plagues. We'll see, where was God there? Two major plagues. Exodus 12. When the Passover was given, look at the instruction. Verse 11. And thus shall you eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste, it's the Lord's Passover, for it shall pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all. Now, when you say, I will pass, in your mind, and in what they said, we were talking about God. Okay? Watch this. Both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now, in your mind, who smote the firstborn? When you read this, that will be God. Right? I hope you are following this. Verse 11, 12, 13. It's the Lord's Passover. Imagine you call something the Lord's Passover, and then it is the Lord that wants to do it too. Are you following me? The Lord is preventing the Lord. That means there's a confusion somewhere. A personality is not seen. Are you following what I'm saying? A personality is not known. To make matters worse, Moses now said, don't allow a stranger. Can you imagine? He said they should not allow a stranger. You will see that he carried a hunger against Egypt. He had something for Egypt. I'll show you something now. Just relax. He had something for Egypt. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I don't want to talk about Moses too much. Because this is a prophet. But I think we need to talk about him. He has something about Egypt. Look at Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 tells us exactly what happened. Hebrews 11, 28. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. Let's finish it together, verse 28. Lest... Lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. And that's the destroyer. Who is the destroyer? It's not God. It's the devil. Who had the power of death? Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. The devil. So, the devil was shielded. In Exodus 12. So, look at, that's the chief plague. Who was involved in the chief plague? The devil. All the plagues. That was why, when we look at it, maybe we'll do that next week. All the plagues represented a sacrifice for the gods in Egypt. Each one. So, the gods in Egypt were visiting judgment on those folks there. All the plagues had to do with one idol in Egypt. They are not found in God. So, the destroyer is not God. The destroyer is the enemy. Now, do you know what happened? It's a pattern. Do you know what happened in Exodus 12 and 13, had happened earlier. Exodus 1. This time around, it was the children of Israel that they asked that they should kill. Look at Exodus 1. Are you following this? From verse 15. And the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one of them was Shifra and the name of the other Puah. I said, when you do the offering of midwives to the Hebrew women and see upon the truth, if it be a son, then you shall kill him. If it be a daughter, then you shall leave. See, it's not every time they don't like women. Verse 17. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king commanded them, but saved the men children alive. Okay? And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have you not done the things that will save and I've saved the men children alive? And the midwife said, Lord, because of the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and they are delivered here. This is not true. People have talked about this so that anybody who labors is not a Hebrew woman. It's not true. They were not telling the truth. So don't say I'm an Hebrew woman.
I don't know what to say after that, but therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. It came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. Then he charged the people, every son that is born, you shall cast in the river, and every daughter you shall have alive. So they carried this out to the children of Israel. He now did not use midwives, and he now used his own people. So what Moses was doing back is an eye for an eye. It was revenge. It was an eye for an eye. Satan was hidden in the words and the actions of the men. Moses is an eye for an eye. Look at Exodus 21:24. An eye for an eye. That's Moses' law. Exodus 21:24. It's very simple. I'll start from 23. I'll start from 22, Seth. If a man strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her foot depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished. According as the woman's husband will lay upon him, he shall pay as the judges determine. If a mischief shall follow, thou shalt give life for life. 24. Eye for an eye. Tooth for tooth. Hand for hand. Foot for foot. Burning for burning. Wound for wound. Stripe for stripe. Do you understand now? Do you understand? That's exactly what he did on the Passover. An eye for an eye. God, and you know, Moses has so much authority. God would have rescued even the Egyptians if it wouldn't happen. But that's not what Moses did. Look at what Jesus said about this statement, eye for an eye. Matthew 5. Who do you believe, Jesus or Moses? I hope so. Some of you are just looking, hey. Verse 38. You have heard it. Okay? Jesus said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you. Matthew 5. Who is talking here?
Jesus.
Who is Jesus? The Word. God in the flesh. An eye for an eye. I say unto you, you resist not evil. Whosoever shall smite thee on your right cheek, turn to him the other. Thou shalt love thy neighbor, hate your enemy. I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them, verse 44, that hate you, and pray for them that despise you and persecute you. So you shall be the children of who? Look at it now. Of who? What does he do? He makes his son to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. So, was Moses preaching God when he said eye for an eye? No. Was it God that brought the plagues? Moses yielded to the devil. Leviticus 24:20. Breach for breach, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. As he has caused offense with a man, so shall it be done to him. So you see, that was the spirit of the law. Deuteronomy 19:21. That's why it is called the law of sin and the law of sin and what? Look at verse 21. For thine eye shall not pity, no mercy. Life shall go for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. Do me, I do you. Is this God? Answer now. But isn't it written? But this, you should know the spirit that you are of. So, if Moses can yield to God and yield to the flesh, he can also do it. Here. Such that, I've heard people say this one. He said, costless shall not come. That. See, things that, look at Proverbs 26:2. For as the bird by wandering, Proverbs 26:2, as the swallow by flying, swallow there is not a bow. So the curse costless shall not come. Now this is karma. Curse costless. The word costless there, something that does not deserve payment. You see it in Genesis 29 verse 15. It's the word chinam in the Hebrew. C-H-I-N-N-A-M. Chinam. Genesis 29:15. To pay back. Exodus 21 verse 2.
That means to trigger something. So it is believed that a curse on the altar that if you do that, it takes, if you do something, that you can have it repaid to you. It's a principle under the law. So what Moses simply, and we know that karma is an evil spirit. Karma is the devil. That if you do something, it's repaid to you. Are you following what I'm saying? What is in Christ is forgiveness of sins, not karma. So, you know what people call karma? And you know, that's exactly what Moses applied. Cause, causeless shall not come. So, there was something that brought it in Egypt. What was it? They had killed the children of the Egyptians, of the Israelites. So, Moses had a template to work with. That template was evil for evil. Cause, causeless shall not come. So, that means he had a template to work with an evil spirit. It's an evil spirit that does do me, I do you. So that's exactly what Moses worked with in Exodus 12 and 13. Are you following this? So, karma, okay, I said, karma is assessing the works of the devil. That's what I wrote here. You are assessing it, you know, an access. Use your ATM. You are accessing the works of the devil. Who was the destroyer in Exodus 12? Who was the destroyer? Who was the destroyer? Who was the destroyer? So who brought the plagues? Who brought the plagues? Say it boldly now. Who brought the plagues? Who destroyed the prophet of Baal? That is where Jesus succeeds. Who killed Goliath? Religious mind. Oh ye. Goliath. For Goliath was the enemy of Israel. Love your enemies. That's the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It has set us free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. Say, I walk in the principle of life in Christ Jesus. I walk in the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I don't walk in the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. Sin that produces death in Christ. He says, if sin abound, grace will abound yet more. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. You hear that? So no matter what the Egyptians did, God's gift is eternal life through Jesus Christ. No matter what Goliath did. Imagine on the cross, if it was the same God that Moses was talking about, that me? Said, Father, forgive. That's the law of the spirit of life. Imagine Moses on that cross. Watch me come back. Hallelujah. The law of sin that produces death. So, basically, he was working on the template of an eye for an eye. Exodus 5:3, quickly. I have just 5 minutes now. Run. Hope you have learned something. Have you learned something? I believe one of the things we try to do in our church is to make Bible study very clear for you. Amen? So you don't confuse God with somebody else. Hallelujah. Look at Moses' thinking. Let's just see his thinking. When he went to Pharaoh, look at what he said. Moses, oh. Exodus 5. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord. Wait, what he said, oh. Thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, let my people go. That's simple. Actually, the word let in the Hebrew is to plead. Please, let my people go. And that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. Who put that one? Ah. Why are you afraid of Moses for crying out? I don't understand. Are you thinking, hey, Who am I? You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Look at verse 2. Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Look at verse 3. Look at his thinking. Oh, the God of Hebrews has met with us. Let us go, we pray thee. 3 days journey into the desert and sacrifice the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us. What kind of a being is this? With pestilence and with sword, that if we don't go, he will kill us. I mean, look at this. Is the Moses that gave the law. I'll come back to him later. I'm not done with him. Hallelujah. What about the Red Sea? What about the Red Sea? Let me just show you something briefly. You know, okay, Exodus 14, run. I'll close here. Because the way I'm looking at this note, I may not end until 1 p.m. Exodus 14. Let's look at it closely. Closely. And you know, we'll read it with the eyes of the epistles. Right? So put your hands in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Exodus 14. Look at verse 24. 23. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses and his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of Egypt through the pillar of the fire, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariots and wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. That means, basically, if you the way it's covered in the Hebrew is like something impeded their movement. You know, they had issues, like, because they were on the dry land, so it's like there was mud and they couldn't go further. Watch this. So somehow, the Lord tried to prevent their destruction. Wait for this. Who closed the sea? Who? Who opened it? Who closed it? I'm asking it. Who opened it? Who closed it? What I just showed you now, Moses was not aware of it. Moses was not part of it, sorry. He wasn't. But you know, even when they stopped and said, we're not going further, Moses closed the sea on them. No, they stopped. They said they were not going further. That the Lord is fighting for these people. And they now moved just to stay. You know, at this point, they are stopped. You're not going further. Moses now, of course, he said the Lord said. That's what he has been saying so far. And Moses shut the sea. That is when these guys attempted to go back, he closed it on them. I said, now, eye for an eye. A tooth for a tooth. Look at Hebrews 11. Before I go to Hebrews 11, look at 1 Corinthians 10. We're still coming back to this scenario, but I just showed you a detail. 1 Corinthians 10. Paul. Wonderful man. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea. So it makes Moses responsible for everything. And did all eat the same spiritual meat and drank the same spiritual drink. So Moses was the main actor here. They were baptized into who? Moses. He was the one that parted the sea. He was the one that put it back together. But look at Hebrews 11.
Hebrews 11. By faith, Hebrews 11, 29. They passed through the Red Sea. Now, whose faith here? Moses. Because you need to just read from verse 24. By faith, Moses. So Moses was the subject matter. Because through faith, the elders, the patriarchs, of which Moses was. Okay? The pronoun here was misplaced. When it says they. Okay? The they there are those that were baptized into Moses. Look at this. As by dry land, which the Egyptians assayed to do, were drowned. Now, the word assayed is to try, to experiment. Is the word peira in the Greek. P-E-I-R-A. To try something. They tried to. Because the only reason why those folks entered was by faith. And whose faith? Those guys that followed Moses, were they in faith? Nope. They even were in doubt. So Moses could have determined who will pass through that. Are you following what I'm saying? But he chose to close it up. And I say an eye for an eye. Tooth for tooth. You know, he would have allowed those guys to cross that sea and nothing would still have happened to Israel. Because they had the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud. But Moses wanted to revenge. Hallelujah. But today we know the spirit that we are of. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the midst of it, those guys, they still stopped. When he saw that they stopped, and they were attempting to go back, he wore where? He closed the scene on them. Hallelujah. Let's go further. One more guy. One more person. I have something about Isaiah. Isaiah and Ezekiah. Isaiah 38. What did the Lord send him to say? What did he say? Those days, Ezekiah was sick unto death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thy house in order, you shall die and not live. Because they were prophets, they spoke authoritatively. You shall die and not live. Don't forget, the guy was already sick. Set your house in order. You shall die. You know, just like Ananias and Sapphira, he just said, hey! And fear will have come upon him. And he will have died. Because the law of sin and death works with fear. Who all through their lifetime were subject to fear. So fear is a tool of the enemy. Ezekiel turned to the Lord and began to pray. Then look at verse 4. And the word of the Lord came to Isaiah. Go answer to Ezekiel. Thus said the Lord God of Israel, thy father, I've heard your prayer. I've seen your tears. I will add unto thy days 15 years. Are you following this? Read his supplication. You think he changed God's head? No. His supplication was just basic. That if I die, I won't praise you. That's all he did. So give me more life. Just prayed. You know, whether Isaiah came back or not, he will have still lived long. Isaiah did not make him live long. Are you following this? He just told him so that he will know. Do you understand? He was just aware of it. The same way he made him know he would die. So this was how the prophets operated. Same people Nathan. We examine Isaiah more because of time. I have a number on him. Let me leave him till next week. Hallelujah. Amen. Aren't you glad you are in Christ Jesus? Amen. We have clarity. We know the Father. Say, I know the Father. Say, I know the Father. You know, Jesus did not show us God. He is God showing us. You say, that's God, though. That's God. It's not you came from heaven to earth to show the way. No. He is the way. When we see Him, we see the Father. Amen. Let me add this and we close. You know, all the deliverances in the epistles, Acts of the Apostles, none of them took a single life. God rescued people and not a single incident of death. Why? The law of the spirit of life was working, not the law of sin and death. The little that walked was Ananias and Sapphira. You see Peter. Peter's Matthew 16 has not changed. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Be blessed this morning. Stand to your feet. Give God praise. Thank you. We worship you, Father.